This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Buttress, host of Southern Remedies, Relatively Speaking. Join the conversation every Tuesday at 11 as we dissect issues that are important to you and your family. That's Relatively Speaking, Tuesdays only on MPB Think Radio.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to Everyday Tech. This is Abram Nani with Sabir Abdul-Haq, an IT expert. So at the close of 2023, we saw a lot of negative tech headlines going on. Faulty tech recalls, patent breaches, and copyright infringement littered the front pages, much to the chagrin of big tech companies like Microsoft and Apple. Today, we're going to try to get you up to date on these lawsuits with what information we know and give a little bit of our own non-expert takes on the subjects. Email everydaytech@mpbonline.org if you have any questions or comments. And don't forget about the Talk to Us feature on the MPB Public Media app, where you can record a voice or video message and send it straight to us at Everyday Tech. Now, Sabir, how are things? I know you told me when you got in here, you've been going since you got up at 5.
Yeah. It's been a day. And it's one thing about technology, I got to say, if I did not have my cell phone, I wouldn't get two thirds of my stuff accomplished.
Really?
I got a notice from one of my clients that, two of their locations were down. They had texted me at 1 o'clock in the morning and I saw it at 5. And so I was like, yo, let me go ahead and take a look.
Yeah.
A lot of time I went in and jumped on my phone, looked at it from my phone on the app, double checked and said, wait a minute. I hit him back and like screenshot and was like red, green, yellow. And I was like, this is when it went down. This is when everything looked like it was coming back up and now it's green. Are you sure it's still offline? And he was like, oh yeah, everything's good now. I saved myself. This person lived on one side of town. I lived in another side of town. I saved myself some gas.
That's good. Yeah. So is that like a storm problem? Because it's been storming in Jackson the past couple of days.
It has. Weather always does affect with some degree, you know, technology of some different ways, especially dealing with networking. But it wasn't really the storm situation. It just seemed like they had a hiccup. It was down for about 15 minutes. Now, yesterday they were down for about an hour and a half. We had to figure that out. So fun times.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Well, I mean, like we've been kind of rolling along here on MPB as normal, and we've got some early callers just getting rolling already. So we've got Steve in Vicksburg first off.
Okay.
What's going on, Steve?
Okay.
Hi, I have a couple of questions. I'll try to make it pointed. I bought a Fire TV Stick 4K for the first time, and I'm trying to set it up for my TV, which it's not TV, but I don't have Prime Video, but I have an Amazon account. Okay. And I went through all the procedure about how to, what the Fire TV Stick says. I got through all of that, and they registered me and all of that. Then it came to a place where they said advanced setup or something, and they wanted me to input the QR, IR of my TV, and I was trying to figure out how to do this, because I took a picture of the IR as shown my TV set. And I'm trying to, the QR, and I'm trying to input it into the Fire TV Stick, and I did not know how to do this.
Okay.
The other choice I had, same one with showed is, you can do it in a digital form. So I went to the digital thing, and, I could input one thing, but then I did not know how to proceed to the next digit, without it, taking that one or whatever it went through as the right one.
Okay.
So they do not give very good, very clear instructions or a handbook or anything on how to do this thing.
Right.
So how can I do this QR of my TV, the picture kind of thing, onto my Fire TV Stick account?
Okay. Great question. Thanks for giving us a call. I would say one of the easier ways, and that's a great question. One of the easier ways I usually recommend is to, I don't know what kind of phone you have, but log into your
Amazon. Yeah, I have a smartphone. I have a smartphone with the Amazon app on it, but no Fire TV. Fire TV.
Right.
I did not find any app for Fire TV, but I got Amazon.
Right.
Amazon.com.
Right. Okay. So what I was trying to share was is that if whichever account, whichever phone you have, whether it's a, you know, Android or iPhone, whatever you're using.
I have open, Amazon. I had a spot with iPhone and I have an Amazon app on it.
Yes, sir. But what I'm about to go is I'm about to step just ahead of that. Let's ignore the app for now. Let's ignore the app. What I'm trying to share with you is open up whatever browser you want, whether it's Safari if you're using an iPhone or Google Chrome or whatever you're using if it's an Android. Go to Amazon.com. What'd you say?
Open Safari.
Right. Or open up whatever your browser is. Go into your Amazon.com account on that phone. Uh-huh. Like, so log into it. Don't use the app. I understand you have the app. Skip.
Okay.
Don't
Amazon,
ignore
that.
Yeah,
I tried that. You know, I tried that Amazon.com account on my browser.
Okay.
You know,
and
I
you
have
log. And did you
browser.
Did you log in?
Yeah, I logged
okay.
in.
Okay. So when you log in, so once you've logged in. Now go back to your camera and try to use the QR code again, because what I expect, I don't like using the word should. I hate the word should. What I expect is when you use the camera, because you already are logged into your Amazon account, and again, never mind the app. We're going to ignore the app completely for now.
Yeah.
We're going to ignore the app completely.
Okay.
Be in your Amazon.com account on a browser. Then use your phone. Go up to the QR code, and you know, like when you hold the QR code, it'll be like a little yellow bar that might show up underneath, and it may have like a, you know, just taking a picture of it is not enough. You want to, you know, put the QR code up. It may show a little small yellow highlighted line in black letters underneath it. When you tap that, what I expect to see happen is it's going to open up the browser. Since you already are logged in under your Amazon.com account on the browser, it will go in and say, oh, okay, we recognize you now. The other option is if that is giving you trouble, because again, taking a picture of the QR, that does not do it. You want to put your phone up to it, like as if you were going to take a picture of it. But I expect for just under the QR box, there will be a highlighted yellow area. And then with letters that'll probably be in white, but more than likely they'll be in black. And if you tap on that will open up your Safari browser, because you're already in Amazon.com, and I expect for that to go ahead and let you in. Now, alternatively, they do say, hey, you can if you're having problems with the QR code, visit this link, and it'll tell you an exact link. It might say Amazon.com activator. I'm not sitting in front of your computer, or I mean in front of you right now. It may say Amazon.com activate or something, and then it'll say input this code, and then you'll put in a code. It'll be letters and numbers. Usually it's 8 or 9 characters. It might be letters and numbers.
Yeah.
And they are case sensitive. You do need to make, if they're caps, you need to make them caps. If they're lowercase, you need to make them lowercase. Put in that code, it will link. Outside of that, you may need to talk to Amazon's help.
Yeah, sometimes if that does not work, you have to go up to technicians, straight to the IT at Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. And let me ask you, if you don't mind, I'll ask another quick question.
Okay.
I have a desktop, Windows 10, and I have backed up my files, to either a flash drive, flash disk or flash drive, or otherwise, a separate hard disk I bought, which is like 1 terabyte or something. So I have backed up there, and using the file history kind of a thing. And I have two quick questions. When you use file history and you want to do another backup, say a week or month or whatever later, does it basically compare the existing files with the previous ones that you backed? Is there a whole list of files that you have backed up before? Does it compare the two and say, wow, I'm only going to back up those files that have changed? Is that what the purpose of the file history is?
So when you use file stream, if I heard you correctly, sir, thank you. When you use file stream, if you have one file that you may, it's going to automatically save it both directions. So if you're working on your computer, let's say you're on the road, you're not near the internet, and you update a Excel file, you're putting in information, and you save it on your computer. Well, you're not on the internet. The next time you're on the internet, Google Drive or whatever, whichever, platform, I thought I heard you say Google Drive, but if whatever you're using will synchronize automatically and say, oh, wait a minute, this is the new information here. It will automatically sync it and back it up for you. And you're doing right to do file stream. I highly recommend file stream, especially if you've got good internet. Don't do mirror. Mirror eats up more space. File stream is a lot better, and it's easier on your computer.
The one I have, you know, I have used this flash drive kind of a thing, and it came with a tiny disk or something software, so it automatically saved the file history. But let me ask you this. If I'm going to now do a new backup, I want to do a complete backup of my disk, files I need to backup, instead of selecting, that's very confusing to me. Which one do you want to select and which one do you, which one do you want to ignore or whatever? That's very confusing to me. But in this case, I will figure that out. Maybe you can tell me, how can I avoid, how can I tell it exactly what files are, directories to back up and what to ignore, which are not important to me kind of a thing. How do I do that? Because it indicates, it shows a set of them, and then it shows, those you want to drop, put a negative, something.
Right.
I've always been confused. How do I do between the two? Because I've always been confused. I know what I want at the time, what changed,
Right.
But how do I, how do I do this? Because the instructions are not very clear to me.
Right. So what I would recommend is, we have a few other calls that we also have to address, but what I would recommend is you would want to go ahead and check whatever app you're using, check on, make sure that you're getting the right files, make sure it's the same files, make sure you're not losing any information. And if you're not sure, just go to save as and maybe change the name of the file just a little bit, and that way you can confirm you can compare which ones have your most up-to-date information so you don't lose anything. Just slightly change the file. A lot of times, sometimes by default, like if you've got Sabir's docs, it was Sabir's document, and then if she says, wait, this document's already here, do you want to overwrite it, just put Sabir's doc 2 or Sabir's doc 3. I'm just giving my name as an example, and then that way I can go back and look and say, now which one of these was the one that I wanted? And you're like, oh, it's the Beers Doc 3. I can delete the others and then save that one. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would recommend, just right offhand from what you're saying, brother.
Yeah, and that also gives you the opportunity to go back and look and see what, like, if you change some information and if you wanted to just see what it was originally, then that gives you the opportunity to go back instead of saving it on top of the same file. Thanks for listening to MPB Think Radio and tuning into Everyday Tech this morning. My name is Abram Naney. I've got Sabir Abdul-Haq here with me. Email your questions or comments to everydaytech@mpbonline.org, where you can attach a picture or screenshots or whatever to help our guys assess your situation. Or download the MPB Public Media app and use the Talk to Us feature to leave us an audio or video message. We've got Tony in Milledgeville, Georgia, who's having trouble with Outlook. Tony, what's going on?
Hey, good morning to you all. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, morning.
Okay, like I said, I use Outlook, and what I do is I just have my email downloaded to my PC, and I use Outlook, but what's happening is I can receive emails, but when I hit the send button, it just sits there in the outbox, and I get an error message that just tells me, you have messages in your outbox waiting to be sent, if you can have blah, blah, blah. So I'm looking for some help.
Okay. Good morning. Great question. Let me ask, who is your provider, your email provider?
Spectrum.
Okay, I have no experience with Spectrum. I was hoping you weren't going to say it. I almost said somebody's, but they are kind of wild. So Spectrum uses now all. Let me ask you this: are you able to send and receive from your cell phone that same email from your cell phone? Okay.
Well, I'm legally blind.
Yes, sir.
And I have not had my cell phone set up yet so that I can see if Siri will work.
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell me this while I'm talking to you. I have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Will Siri help me read and send emails and do all that kind of stuff through the mail app on the phone?
Yes. If you say, Siri, read off my mail, such and such, and she will. She will.
Okay. Okay. But I appreciate that. I'm legally blind.
Yes,
so
sir.
I use a screen reader
on
my home computer and all
Absolutely.
That stuff.
So
what I do, I could go, like if I go to the Spectrum website, I could send the emails from the website.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as when they download to my home computer, I receive them there, but I cannot reply or I cannot just send a new email. It won't go out.
Okay. And are you sure about your settings and you've not had a password change?
To the best of my knowledge, as a matter of fact, I called Spectrum about this problem.
Okay.
You know, about a week ago.
Okay.
And they told me that they thought I had too much mail in my box. But according to the information there, I'm not using all the
your capacity
that I'm allowed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I really don't think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because I can send email from the website but not from my computer.
Okay. So if you can't send it from your computer, you have a PC or a Mac?
I have a Windows 10.
Yeah, Windows 10, okay, so you use a PC. You can try if you use, and Outlook actually is about to change to a new version. So I don't know if you've got like the full version of Outlook or the free version that used to be called Webmail or just Mail, Windows Mail was the name of it. And now they've got a free version of Outlook, which actually I like. It's pretty nice. But what I used before Outlook became free is Thunderbird. There's another app called Thunderbird. It is also what you call an email client. So Outlook basically will go out and it will fetch. Give me your name again, brother. What's your name again?
My name is Tony.
Tony, got you. So it'll be like, Outlook or Thunderbird or whatever you choose. If you have a Mac, you call it Mac Mail or Apple Mail. I think Apple Mail, Mac, one of those. Email client basically goes and fetches your email. It's like, hey, let me go get your email for you. You don't have to go into a browser. Let me get it for you so you can read it. But it requires that it has all the right settings. If those settings are off, if the password's off, if your email is full. But the fact that you're able to send from the website, that's already said that your email's not full. So my bet is either maybe your password, you might be typing your password off a little bit, or particular companies like down here, we don't have Spectrum down here in Mississippi. We use like AT&T. We've got Comcast or Xfinity. You've got other providers, Gmail, whatever. You've got all these different things in that fashion, in that facet. You don't have you don't have like a Spectrum down here, so I don't know their settings. But if you were to make sure that you got their settings, because there's particular what's called server settings, because again, the email client will go out to the server and get Tony's email. Like if I was with Spectrum or whatever, you know, what the settings might be the same that you and I would use, right? For us to be able to both get our Spectrum email, but you don't have my email address and you definitely don't have my password, and I wouldn't have yours. It lets you get your individual email. Something tells me either that password, because you're able to send from the browser, either that password is off or the settings are off. Or it's also possible that Outlook could be giving you trouble. If you're sure about the settings and you're absolutely sure about the password, try downloading Thunderbird. If you do a search for it, Thunderbird is absolutely free. Download Thunderbird and try to use those same settings for Spectrum and see if those work for you. Okay.
I just want to clarify a little bit. There are parts of Mississippi that do have Spectrum.
There are?
I did
not know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
There are a few spots.
Yeah, they're a part of, they're on board with us. But yes, there are a few spots that do have Spectrum here.
Gotcha. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So my question, Tony, is the email that you're having trouble with, is this your personal email or is that a business email that you're trying to send it out with?
It's my personal email.
Okay. All right. So my settings question, or what I believe could be the problem, is that you might not have given Outlook the permission on your account to send emails from the app. So if you go to File, Info, Account Settings, and Delegate Access, you should be able to find the ability to allow that device to send without you signing in every time, if that makes any sense. It might not it's a little complicated, but you might just not – Outlook might not have the permissions settings.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me mention this, too. I mean, this just started happening within the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and I've been using this, I mean, for years, and this just started happening within the last couple of weeks.
Right. So you and that's why I thought I heard you said it was working before.
Okay.
It had been working before. So, but it had been working before, but it's just in the last couple of weeks. There's only two things. Now, here's the other thing, and I don't want to scare you. Here's the other thing. If your account, let's say, for example, if it got compromised and, you know, a threat actor is with the name for it. Another word is a hacker. I don't want to scare you. But if someone compromised your account and was sending out googobs, and that's a technical term, of course, googobs, if someone was sending googobs of emails out, Spectrum can halt, can throttle or even hodl. By throttle, I mean like greatly limit or even halt your connectivity. So that's the other thing. But I'm hoping that it's a password issue. I'm hoping
that. Is there a way I would know if that's happened?
If you got in touch with Spectrum, mm-hmm. they probably would have seen that and told you.
Yep, they would have told you and or sent you an email saying, "Hey, listen, it looks like you've been compromised. We need to go ahead and, you know, what do we need to do to go ahead and change your stuff? They may have you change your password or what have you." But the conversation does need to be with Spectrum. Verify that your settings to be able to access your email on an email client. That's what you're going to ask them. Hey, are my settings, can I confirm with you my email settings? Can you confirm with me what the email settings should be on Outlook? See, can you, if you download Thunderbird, if they say, yeah, that's absolutely right, and you do it on Thunderbird, well, Thunderbird, again, I'm recommending Thunderbird. I love Thunderbird. Again, it's free. Thunderbird is another email client. It's absolutely free. If you try to put those same settings and password and it works on Thunderbird, well, just use Thunderbird.
Yeah.
That'll work too. It's going to pull all your same emails over and everything. Something tells me the other thing. Are you sure we're not out of space on your computer? That's the last thing I was thinking. Are you not?
That is possible too. I mean, because it is an old computer and we've been using it for a number of years.
Right.
I mean, that is an option.
Very much possible.
That was the last thing I was going to change. Check your space. If you're sure you're not out of space on the browser's working okay, you might be running out of space in your computer, because your computer, as the email client is there and fetching and sending emails for you, it is taking up space on your computer. So if you're running out of space or just about out of space on your computer, it may stop. Your computer is going to stop using certain apps to try to at least work. It's like, I'm trying to do this for you. I'm 205, 195, something like that. But, but if somebody gave me 1,000 pounds of weights to carry, I'm going to be like, oh my God, you want me to carry this heavy weight? Your computer is going to try to do what it can. It's going to shed as much stuff as it can to still not collapse. But, I mean, including that might be not letting you send your email. So if your computer's running out of space, that also could do it.
It could have decided that the email was not its priority in functioning.
Correct.
So I could still be receiving emails, but those issues that you mentioned would prevent me from sending emails.
It could. It's possible. I would really double check your email settings. Make sure you got the right email settings for Outlook. Make sure your password is correct. Confirm with Spectrum, make sure that they've got that your settings and everything else that you have is correct. And then also, finally, make sure that you're not running out of space on your computer.
I just changed my password through Spectrum, so I know that I've updated my password.
Right.
Is there another password I need to be aware of?
So your password, that'll do it. If you updated on Spectrum, did you update it inside your email client, inside Outlook?
No, that's a good question. I'm not sure that was.
That might be it,
that
too.
That could be that it. Could yeah, be it just too. Sign out and sign back in with a new password, and that could do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, well, I really appreciate your help and enjoy your show. Thanks.
I appreciate you calling in, Tony. All right.
All
well,
the way from Georgia.
From Georgia.
It.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what's up.
I sent you an email a while ago.
I'm sorry.
You're fine. But we had a listener email us from Uganda. So I'll find that email real quick.
Right.
We're glad you found our show, Everyday Tech, on MPB Think Radio. This is Abram Naney, still here with Sabir Abdul-Haq, who is ready to answer your questions. Email us at everydaytech@mpbonline.org. Now, I mentioned we have a listener from Uganda who listens to our podcast. So we appreciate that, first of all. So that's really cool. He emailed us and told us that he bought a little HP Pavilion that came along with a little problem.
All right.
I get a WHEA uncorrectable error. Online guides send me to check RAM or the SSD. It's a good thing otherwise, but it sometimes fails when he's doing mundane everyday tasks.
Yeah.
But he goes through his quota of BSODs a day, which you told me was blue screen of death.
That's right.
Okay. So only options left for me now are changing the board of the laptop or just flat out buying a new one, unless there's something I'm missing. My BIOSes are pretty much up to date.
So,
and there was a lot more to that email. Yeah, I was just trying more, to summarize it.
So depending on what, and that's a great question. Now I just thought about something also. So immediately my brain goes to, especially if he's doing online gaming and if he has a graphics card that came with that, the graphics card is probably doing, because he said he was doing a lot of gaming, okay, but mundane tasks was giving him problems. It might be the onboard stuff may be failing on him, but if he's got certain things, like, for example, I got no problem saying this. The HP Stream computer is basically a paperweight. It's something that these big box stores sell. Nothing against HP. Don't get mad at us, HP. But that HP Stream only has enough to do all online tasks with not enough memory. Mm-hmm. And you can't change the memory in it. So it might work okay for that gentleman. I would need to know more about what that exact, I would need like a screenshot of what that looks like. And if at all possible, the make and model of that computer. But that HP Stream, it's enough for small online games, and that is it. I'm talking about if you want to do anything more than this old game that me and my son do called Tank Trouble, which is a JavaScript game where you're two tanks shooting each other.
Yeah.
Anything too much heavier than that, you're asking for trouble.
Okay.
And so it just depends. I would need to know more information, but great question. Yeah. Offhand, I would say either if he does have an actual, like a aftermarket graphics card that he may have spent some money to put in there, then yeah, the graphics card might be doing all the work and there's something not functioning with the onboard, you know, graphics and everything else like that, or even possibly the motherboard might be going out because the video card, the aftermarket card, is doing all the work. There's a lot of options here. I just need to know more.
Yeah. So if you hear this, I'll email you after the show just to make sure. But we would like a screenshot to help. To help after that.
And the model number.
We need and the model number. Number. Screenshot and model number.
Yeah.
But we're also not fully aware of your, you know, conditions in Uganda, what is available and what's not.
Just need to know more information. And I don't even know if he bought it brand new. I don't know if he got it refurbed. I don't know if he got it from a friend or whatever.
Right.
I don't know what could happen. There's a lot of moving parts there.
Right. So thanks, Felix, for that email. And thank you so much for listening from Uganda. So that's really cool.
Appreciate it.
And another,
Georgia and Uganda, man.
Yeah, yeah. We're expanding a little bit today.
That's what's up.
We got another email. It's a little simpler than that one.
Okay.
Got two old Dell PCs and an old laptop. Where can I recycle them in the Jackson metro area? Thank you from Bill. So what is your first initial, you know, if someone's wanting to recycle old PCs, laptops, what is your idea with that? Do you consider donations or recycling?
I consider donations to like any kind of computer collective that people may know of, because sometimes people can make those devices into like basically really, really watered down things that they might, you know, donate to organizations. Like organization like BeanPath. We've talked about BeanPath before. They, you know, they may water something down or whatever just for it to do something very simple. There is a mom and pop spot that I swear by, that is Sideline PCs Plus in Brandon, Mississippi. Also, you've got, I can't remember the name of it, but there are a computer store just north of McGee on Highway 49. I cannot remember the name of them right now, but they also do great work, and they accept both of those organizations, Sideline PCs Plus and the Computer Store down in McGee, like going 49 South. They both take they will recycle computers. There was a company that used to call me. They found me on Google, and they used to come up from Metairie, Louisiana. They used to come up regularly, and they would be like, hey, do you have any computers to donate? They used to contact regularly at the height of COVID. I've not heard from those folks in a while.
Gotcha.
But if I find them, I'll send them to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Sabir, quick question. If you know, I'm a hoarder of PCs, old PCs, what? Old cell phones.
Why would you do that?
Old iPods and everything mm-hmm. because I'm scared my information is on it, and I don't know how to take it off, especially if it's an old device, mm-hmm. before I go donate.
Okay. So great question. The hard drive, and you know, Jermaine, if there's something you know, I can always touch bases about PCs. I can be happy to go ahead and remove a hard drive from you, and you can either do the old way, or either put a shotgun to it. We always laugh about that. Or you get like one of those big like storage magnets that you can get inside stores.
Okay.
And basically you get that hard drive, you put that storage magnet on all sides of it. You get two of them and put them on both sides of it or whatever. Leave them on there for a couple of minutes. Or they call it degaussing it. That's an electromagnet one, but ain't nobody got access to that. You just go ahead, just use like a regular magnet directly
that
on the hard
like
drive.
Game of Thrones
it's no telling. You know what I'm saying? It's quite medieval. You know, you can get medieval on it, but if you wanted to. But nah, it's just if you get like some magnets on it and put it on both sides of that hard drive and move it several times on the hard drive, you are erasing it.
Ooh.
You are erasing.
Okay. And that doesn't mess up the hard drive, does it?
I mean, let me back up. I'm thinking you're talking about disposing of it. Now,
I'm talking about
just fully disposing
because I will not throw it away because I don't know how to
correct.
Clean it off.
Okay. Correct. If you were to get that hard drive out, get up with me. I'd be happy to remove the hard drive from it. Bump, hit a couple of magnets to it or whatever. You're basically done. And if you want to go ahead and set those things on fire and a fire, I don't know. Usually what I'll do is a magnet. A magnet is enough. You put a really strong magnet on it.
Cell phone too?
Cell phone too. But there was an organization in Metro Jackson where they did hard drive destruction. And I've got like something on my desk at my work desk. I'll send you a picture of it.
Okay.
But it's like a picture. They used to do it. I called them and they're actually shut down.
Oh.
But it's another spot near the Walmart in Pearl. They do something similar. I just can't remember the name of the company. If I find it, I'll look it up.
Okay.
They destroy hard drives too.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's another option.
That's
so
okay.
For destruction. Now, if you want to recycle a computer, give it back or whatever, most of these computer shops are worth their salt. They will wipe off what's called the user profile. They'll delete it. Abram, you give me a computer and you say, hey, Sabir, I want to go. I'm like, sure, no problem. I would delete your Windows profile. I'm not saying that everything is gone for good, or even do what's called a restage, or we call it smoking in the industry. Smoking your hard drive. You smoke the hard drive, it's gone.
Okay.
You smoke it, and then you can go ahead and, you know, they may choose to resell it or repurpose it or whatever. But, you know, as long as you're touching base with someone that's, you know, credible and everything else, they say, hey, can you smoke my stuff off this? You know, you smoke my hard drive. Can you restage this computer? Sure, no problem, because they understand you're concerned about your privacy.
Right.
If you haven't done it already. I've recycled computers of mine or whatever for that exact same purpose and wiped off the Windows profile and then restaged it. It's doubly gone. So
So we can also, one thing that came to my mind was there's plenty of like technical schools that would love to have some extra stuff that they could work on.
Oh, yeah.
Or, when I did the esports thing a month ago, mm-hmm. There's always people looking for devices, mm-hmm. Schools that want some devices or some, community technical people.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's always so many things that, mm-hmm. So many people that could use a working active PC.
Correct. Correct. And something that they can do just to be able to teach people like the inner working parts of, just mm-hmm. to understand what is a motherboard so that people can dissect it. It's almost like, biology class. Like what is a motherboard? What is, this, and be able to break the, what is Northbridge and Southbridge chip? What is this? What is that? And so explaining all those different things, that's important. So I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do some work with, some youth and stuff too. Don't you?
We are going to be starting something, and I may talk about it as it gets closer. But yeah, I've got a friend of mine. I think I spoke about it before. A good friend of mine was one of my former mentees. He passed away, and I talked to his older brother, and he was like, "Yeah, sure, you can definitely name this in his honor." So we will be doing that at the latest summer 2025.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I got you.
Do that.
Well, cool. Well, there's always, you know, charitable things you can do with old PCs and laptops, even old phones. Like we talked about, you know, you can donate your old phones to, you know, domestic violence shelters and stuff. There's plenty of things options that you can do with old tech. We need to do something.
We probably
just a whole hour.
What to do with old tech hour?
With old tech, yeah.
You know what? If you do some research, and I'm going to touch bases with these contacts I got in Hattiesburg and that one in McGee and the one in Brandon, and we'll definitely do it. I'll even try to reach those folks in Metairie because they would contact me like every 2 weeks. They would contact me. They just looked me up. They found up my business online and was like, yeah, let me go ahead and see if they've got anything. So it worked out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thanks for listening to Everyday Tech here on MPB Think Radio with myself, Abram Nanny, and with Sabir Abdul-Haq. If you have questions at any time, call us at 877-MPB-RING, 877-672-7464.
Give us a call.
Yeah, we still got plenty of time for a couple more calls. So you can also email the show at everydaytech@mpbonline.org. And, you know, at the opening of the show, I said we had a bunch of headlines to get to, and we had so much to discuss, and we ended up getting a lot of calls. A lot of calls and emails that we ended up kind of going through.
Appreciate it.
So, yeah, absolutely. Thanks, everyone, for listening and calling in. Yeah. So the first lawsuit that I was talking about was Apple is currently facing a lawsuit from a California-based company called Masimo. Mm-hmm. They're arguing that Apple stole their technology that monitors blood oxygen levels to implement it in Apple Watches. And the U.S. International Trade Commission ruled in favor of Masimo initially in October of 2023. So for a couple of months, Apple had to pull devices using the technology from shelves and couldn't import any more of the Apple Watch series. An appeals court has allowed Apple to resume selling those devices as of December 27th of 2023.
Wow.
So this is not the first time that Apple's had, you know, patent problems.
Never.
Yeah. So my initial reaction to this is that, you know, Apple has the resources to do find their own technology and, you know, discover it themselves.
They have.
But they're also, you know, they're just a big corporation. So who knows one way or the other.
And I hate it because, like, you'll see things like this. And I had to give Apple their props. Because it's just my personal feeling. Like when law enforcement, you remember a story one time when it was something that they needed off of a phone for, you know, a law enforcement type issue, and Apple refused to give them access. I can't remember what this was. And I was like, wow.
I remember you talking about it.
I can't even remember the specifics of the story. I really wish I could look it up right now. And, you know, not trying to hamper, you know, any law enforcement folks out there, but I had to appreciate that, and I'm sure eventually they got it. They got what they needed. But that was interesting to see that people were protecting people's, you know, privacy up to a point. Now, it's one thing if the person or persons involved were actually convicted and everything else, like, oh, okay, we about to go ahead and here you go. Well, we ain't want no problem with this. But I thought that was really interesting, and I give my wife and I she was wanting to come and make it today, and we didn't get a chance to, she didn't get a chance to join us. But, I was like, yo, she reminds me of how we first started having these arguments, the beef between Apple and Android. And I was like, but think about who has gotten into more lawsuits.
That's true.
But just to combat that, Sabir, on your wife's side, who has gotten hacked the most? Pin drop. Apple is always getting hacked.
You know what? Yeah. Apple has gotten hacked, but you know what? I'm gonna be fair.
That dog on cloud.
Android has too. Android has been hacked. Because
I don't never hear nothing about the Android cloud, but Apple cloud.
No, trust me, I'm an Android person. I didn't have this conversation. But like Linux and Unix are basically cousins in terms of programming language. Let's see. Windows is DOS. Apple is Unix and Android is Linux. Yeah. So they're cousins. But I would actually say it's been almost equal. Okay. And at least I don't know if y'all ever saw the old TV show Mr. Robot. They sure were taking pot shots at Androids all the time because they were like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and hack this Android-based. I was like, yo, that's messed up.
That was probably somebody's son that looked at Apple.
That was wild.
So you and your wife have beef with that?
Oh, yeah.
How do you say your wife's name?
Ciara.
Ciara?
She's hilarious.
Cool. Well, she's online, too, right now. She has called in, and she wants to add on to this beef. Ciara, what do you got to say?
Hi, you guys.
Hey.
Hello.
So good to finally meet y'all. I was a naive, just regular phone user back in 2018, 2019. And, you know, I'd done my little cursory Google research on Androids and Apples. And at the time, they were like, no phone is better than the other. No camera, neither one of the cameras are better than the other. And I was okay in my naivety. And then your friend there started this beef when he got me back here to Mississippi. Every other moment, it was, well, Apple this, well, Apple that. Android don't lose space, which we just recently discovered they do, didn't we, honey?
Nah.
oh, man, I wish we had the cameras on for that face right there.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you later.
he really did start this beef, and then I've heard him mentioning my name on the highways and byways of radio.
Yes, indeed. We do this, and then social media does it too. So social media does it too, but it's always most potent when it's at home. So yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But no,
it's so refreshing to hear that you finally have something great to say or good things to say at all.
Apple.
I think he begrudgingly says something, I'll give Apple their credit, I'll give them their due once in a while.
She's been missing.
He did good because I really thought he was Team Apple today, and then he kind of flipped it on me, and I was like, oh, okay, I forgot you're on my side.
That's correct. No. That's not at all.
Well, we'll have to have you on the show for sure.
Oh, yes, indeed.
We'll do iPhone versus Android again.
Thank you all for having me.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much. All right. I think we've got one more call. We've got only a couple minutes left. Okay. So Bill and Jackson, thanks for calling in. What you got?
Well, I'm the one that wrote the email about the recycling of PC.
Oh, awesome.
But I got a question. I read online that if I reset my PC, it's sufficient to donate it to somebody else. Is that true or not?
That will also work. But make sure you choose the reset that says that it'll say that I'm recycling. So if you're going to, it gives it, Windows, great question. Windows will ask you, are you recycling this computer? Choose this option. Or are you giving this computer to someone else? Choose this option. It literally will tell you that. Since Windows 8, it started saying that. So if you're planning on giving it to a friend or selling it or whatever, choose the one that says I'm about to give it to someone.
I'm going to donate it to a charity so I can do that.
There you go. There it is.
Very cool, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I didn't know that they had that option.
That is the other option, too. I think extremes, but that is easy. That is the easier thing. Since Windows 8, like if you type into the search bar, reset, they're just even just the words reset, it'll take you to an option that basically says, are you going to recycle this computer or are you giving it or selling it to someone? And you can literally choose those two. So Bill's absolutely right. That's the easier. Remember I said the easier thing, you should always go to the easier fix. He's right. That's the easier thing to do. Choose reset and whichever one of those you're going to do.
Now, if you do the second one, like if you reset it like you're giving it to someone else, is that going to say like, you know, I'll keep all the system updates and everything, but I'm not going to factory reset it. I'm just going to give all the data away.
It's going to delete all the data. All of Abram's stuff is going to be gone.
Right.
But the computer system will still work. It'll still be good. Okay. We'll still have it updated and everything else. And there's a third option called out of box experience, which means factory reset. So here's a third option too.
So the factory reset would be like
take you all the way back in time, like nobody's been.
Yeah. When the default Windows from when you bought it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, all right. That is gonna be the end of the show for us. We kind of didn't get to much of what we were gonna talk about, but that is always a good thing.
Hey, we got folks that have questions. Georgia and Ghana reaching out, so that's great.
Yeah, real cool. Yep. So remember, if you missed any of this, you can always check the podcast. So thanks for helping me out, Sabir. I'm going to get through this at the end of the show. I'm going to get through this. Thanks for helping myself and our callers out. If you missed any of the show, make sure you listen back to it on your favorite podcasting app or download the MPB Public Media app. Everyday Tech is brought to you by Mississippi Public Broadcasting, Think Radio, and generous contributions from listeners. Our show today was engineered by the wonderful Jermaine Flood. Call screener was Charles Arnold. I've been your host, Abram Nanny, also the podcast producer. Thank you for tuning in. Up next is Dr. Jimmy Stewart with the original Southern Remedy. We'll be back next Wednesday morning at 10, right here on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.